Last year, this is the recap video for our last year camp. It was an amazing time that we had. And I want to take this opportunity to thank every single one that involved in this camp. Thank you so much for helping out to and make this camp a success. Children encounter God at the end of the day. And I'm supposed to give some update of the Kids Church as well as Cyberjaya, so allow me to have some time. And you can see the picture over here on my right-hand side. This is a picture that of during the camp as well. And the first day night session, we actually teach them about how to spend time with God. And after we teach and everything, we ask them to spend 5 minutes with God, quiet time. Many of us struggle, okay? Talking about children, we ask them, you talk to God. And they spend 5 minutes. It was a very beautiful moment. None of them took, you know. And you can imagine, some of you got children, you know, 5 minutes sit still is tough. But it was beautiful. And after the 5 minutes, we asked them, so how do you feel? What do you see? Did God talk to you? And I tell you, many of them say, I see vision. I see cloud. I felt peace. I feel love. And some of them feel like, oh, I feel warm in my body. And then we're trying to explain to them that is how Holy Spirit, how God trying to interact with us. That was their little moment. And one of the kids shared with us about this, and I find that I really want to highlight to all of you. And one of the girls, usually on Sunday, cannot sit still, will walk around and stuff. And that day, 5 minutes after, we asked how was it to her. She was saying that, I asked God 5 times, is he real? Are you real? Are you real? Are you real? Are you real? And are you real? And God answered her 5 times. I am. I am. I am. I am. And I am. God is moving in children's life. And I'm supposed to show you all like what are the things that in children church, you know, I got to give you an update. But I decided to show you all a video of the kids camp and as well as of this picture is to tell all of us that we do mini camp every Sunday. All right. We make our Sunday fun. We make the Bible lesson interactive, applicable, and as well as they can encounter God. And this is the scriptures that we believe in. Making disciples is one. And another thing we really believe in is that through the praise of children and infants, you have established stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. That this is really one of the scriptures that I hold on, that I want to make sure that when I lead the team, I want to make sure that we are creating an environment for the children able to encounter God and as well as they are able to worship God as a personal God to them. And I'm here, actually, they say that, you know, the lack of volunteers. You can ask, now is your time to ask for volunteers. Yes, it is my time to ask for volunteers. And I can tell you all that how much need that we actually have. Just like last week, one class, 30 over students, there were no teacher. We got to find people to replace. But I do not want here to tell you all there's so much need that we have. But I'm here to give a call to all of us that look at the scriptures that if we want to have a strong church, we need to have strong children church. Because our kids' worship is the one that stop our enemy, silent the enemy. And if we want to have a strong nation, we even need more children coming to God and worship God. And if we want to have an earth that the world that worshiping God, then we even need all the children. And that takes hard worker to bring that available for the children. So I want to bring this call to you all. Think about it. Would you like to be part of the children, kids ministry, kids church, to really be a part in the children church? It can be just cutting. It can be bring children to the toilet. But let us just don't look at the task itself. But you know that that task contribute to a better environment for the children to worship God. Wow. I want to invite you to think about it. And if you want, if you're interested, don't see me after that. You go to info counter, you get the QR code for signing up for volunteers. You just scan the QR code, you write which ministry that you want to be at, and I will contact you. No need to worry that, oh, I don't know how to teach, and then I don't know how to handle the children. All this skill we will teach. The only entry level that you need to have is that when you see children, you won't vomit. Okay? That's it. If you see children, you vomit, then it's okay. There's other ministry for you to explore. Okay? But if you see children, you won't vomit, you can come and try. And we will have conversation with you. And we'll see how best that you can be part of a kids' church. All right? So always have conversation first. And I'm not just a kids' pastor in every nation. Puchong here. And my husband and I, Last year, March, we started pastoring Cyberjaya Church. And I would like to show you all what happened in Cyberjaya Church. And you can see that the picture at the bottom is our campus party. And I want to tell you, when we were there, the campus life group left with 8 students. And 2 weeks in, 4 left. Okay, not that they don't like me, but they finished the study. They went home to Indonesia. Cyberjaya Church, full of internationals. All right, I tell you, it's really full of international because 6 people on the tables eating, 5 from different, you can find 5 nationality over there. So we are talking about that kind of turnover. So the 2 weeks in, wow, 4 left. And I asked God, what exactly you want us to do in this season when we come in? And God said, do campus ministry. I was like, okay. I go and I sit down with my team, says that let's do something and reach the students. And you need to know that 4 students, they already squeeze out their old contacts already. And they say, I got no more friends to invite. How? I was like, God, no more friends. How? And we really took the challenge. Hear God, obey God. We pray. We did prayer walk in MMU, in Tamarind, if you're familiar with Cyberjaya, Lingkowing. We did what we can. And we did also giving out flyers, old school, right? You know, we go out and give, you know. And I want to tell you, 30 over strangers sign up for the event. Wow. And I want to tell you, it's not friends of friends. They all are strangers. And it is only God can make that happen. And the day that we started, we continue to serve the church with 1 life campus life group, and now we have 3 different campus life group. And all give glories to God. And it's not just that. You can see this picture. This is not like whole church Christmas party. This is just merely family life group Christmas party. This life group lead by Joel and Deborah. Any of you know Joel and Deborah? They attend Saturday church. And if you see them, please show your appreciative and thank them and honor them. They have been great teammates to build Cyberjaya together. And we started off with the life group with just 2, 3 to 4 families. And the last I count, we have 10 to 11 families with us. Wow. And look at this picture. These pictures, we had our barbecue night. And it was hosted by our working adult. Our working adult shift is very different in Cyberjaya. They really work by shift. We don't see them, sometimes we only see them once a month on Sunday. Not because they don't come to service, because Sunday they are working. So we are in that kind of environment. However, our working adult still able to pull together and do the barbecue event for the church. And I want to tell you, God has been so gracious to myself and my husband that we get to witness it is not by our own power, it is Him is at work. It's amazing. And how did we, how did we come to Cyberjaya? Was actually during last year prayer and fasting. You know, last year prayer and fasting was miracle, the team, if any of you remember. And I remember that day, question, step faith, you know, faith step, sorry. You know, if you do prayer and fasting, your booklet, every day, actually you have a faith step that you need to answer and ask God, right? And that, the third day prayer and fasting, faith step was asking, I was saying this, that pray and ask God where He leads you to share the gospel. But immediately when I look at that, my answer is Cyberjaya. And I called my husband. I was in church. He was at home. I called my husband and said, tonight after prayer meet, let's go Cyberjaya to pray. We went that night, prayer drive 2 hours, and we pray for the land. We really hear God. We want to make sure that that is a call that is coming from God for this season. And after 2 hours, we are quite sure there is a calling from God. we texted Pastor Tim and Teresa and said that we are ready to serve Cyberjaya in this season. And that was the journey. In end of January, we started to go build relationship. In March, we officially become the pastor to pastor the church. And from then, I see how God really used us as a team. I must tell you, it's not man and I. It's really the team and how God used us to grow the church. And now from 20, 30 attendance on Sunday, weekly basis, now we have 40 to 50s. And I believe in 2024, we're going to double up. So I want to encourage all of us, prayer and fasting is important. And we just ended our prayer and fasting, am I correct? Maybe some of us miss it and perhaps you can pick it up again. And we just ended our prayer and fasting 5 days. On Friday is our last day. And we have a video from Pastor Steve to sum up our 5 days prayer and fasting. And the team is set apart. Let us just focus on the screen and see what Pastor Steve says.
This week, Every Nation Churches around the world started 2024 like we start every year, with a week of prayer, fasting, and consecration. All three of those words are important. Prayer. We talked to God together all over the world. Fasting, we denied self together this week. Consecration, we surrendered to God together. I can't think of a better way to start a new year than praying, fasting, and surrendering to God together. Our 2024 theme was Set Apart, a biblical view of holiness. Now I know sometimes holiness can be a heavy word. And sometimes holiness can turn into sort of a legalistic, religious guilt trip and beat down. But I'm convinced that when rooted in Scripture and when taught scripturally, holiness doesn't become legalism and it doesn't become life draining. Rather, it becomes grace filled and life giving and transformational. I trust that this week of prayer and fasting and consecration has been inspirational, informational, motivational, and life giving to you. Our set-apart devotional guide was published in 16 languages, including Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, Ukrainian, Russian, Spanish, Polish, Tagalog, and others. We were privileged to hear from Every Nation preachers from South Africa, the United States, Peru, the Philippines, Ghana, and Indonesia as they taught us about the holiness of God in our 7 daily devotional videos. They encouraged us to live holy and set-apart lives as we learned about the call to holiness, the community of holiness, the challenge, the conduct, the crux, the commitment, and the crucible of holiness. God has set us apart and called us to be holy for His glory and His purpose. Scripture connects holiness and mission in 1 Peter 2:9. It says this, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession." Why? Why are we all that? Here's why. That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. May the God who set you apart for His glory empower you to live a holy life and to proclaim His glorious gospel more than ever in 2024.
We started Set Apart series last week in conjunction of the prayer and fasting. And I really wish that all of you had your great time with God. And again, just like I mentioned, if any of you miss it, you can again pick up the booklet and do your own journey. I'm sure anytime you seek God, you will be able to find God. And last week, we talked about God is holy. And I just want to have a good, the whole series, we are talking about setting apart and understand in a biblical way of holiness. All right, so we are going to unfold, using 5 weeks, unfold holiness. And last week, week one, we talked about holiness and talking about God is holy. And we also mentioned that holy is not about doing right or wrong thing. Holy is talking about set apart from the world. Holy is talking about consecration. Holy is talking about sanctification. Holy is talking about perfect as well. Talking about God is holy. God is different from the world. And not just that. God said that He is holy and we are called to be holy. So that was week one. And we are called to set apart. And today, my role is to talk about holiness loss. It's definitely, I have to be the bad person to tell us that we are sinners. So bear with me, guys, all right? Because I'm tasked to do this. But I want to tell you, when I look at the scriptures again and again, I just see not about the loss that we need to grieve. It's about the love of God that is being magnified. All right. And when talking about holiness loss, we are going to jump into, because we are looking into the first holiness that is being lost. The first one in the Bible, the first one in the world. So it has to be come from the story from the Eve and Adam. And some of you know the story already, but I want to come to it and tell all of us that God's words is a living word. The 20 years ago when you read that and 20 years later when you read again, it will be different, or maybe it can be as a reminder for all of us. So let us pray and ask God to speak to us. Father God, we come before you. We want to believe that your words is sword. Your words can pierce through our heart. We want to believe your Holy Spirit is at work. We want to believe that God, you are the one who speak to us. We are not just using our mind to understand the message, but we are activating our spirit to let you speak and encounter you. So we pray that God, that you take over the whole message, you take over the whole congregation, that we want to glorify you with our spirit, oh God. We want to understand you more and we want to chase after what you have intended for us, God. Thank you, Lord. May you please with our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when last week talk about God is holy and talk about everything is perfect, that nothing goes wrong, everything was good, and we have good relationship with God. But the moment sin entered, the first crack, quote unquote, coming to the world, we started to have separation from God. And we're going to look into again to just have a refreshment again there to see what happened, all right? What exactly happened and when, all right? Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent, for those who are not Christian, this is not just a normal snake we're talking about, this is devil, okay? Was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God say, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and had a tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the tree of the gardens. And we are talking about the man and woman here is Adam and Eve, the first man and woman of God, the one that had perfect relationship with God. And this passage, there are a few things that we can observe. The first thing that we observe is that the command, first thing first, the command, okay? Adam, Eve, and serpent know the command of God. And I want to tell you, the command was only given to Adam. When he created everything, created Adam, and tell that tree, the fruits, you cannot eat. So he actually gave the command to Adam. But actually, after that, everyone knows the command. Very similar to all of us. We all have the Word of God. We all have the Word of God. We know the command. We know the things to do. But how we respond is very different. So sin goes to them. They all know the command. That's one thing we observe. The second thing that we observe is that the serpent is very crafty. Crafty here is not talking about very good at iron craft, right? Crafty here is talking about more of a negative behavior. The serpent is so, so bad that he will do anything to make people to disobey God. We are talking about manipulative. We are talking about deceive people. We are talking about he has different creativity ways to make people to do wrong things. We are talking about that kind of crafty. That's what we observe. And the third thing that we observe is that, which is from verse 8, heard the sound of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves. God walking in the garden. So what we can see here is that God didn't just create them there and then God is in heaven. No. they were together. A perfect place that with the human that God created have great relationship. They were together. But this thing happened. And God cannot unpunish in a sense. God cannot ignore because He is not just love, right? He is holy and He is also just. The place that He is at, He cannot allow sin in there. Hence, the first holiness lost. And hence, humankind started to have the vast separation. Hence, why we need salvation. That was the first thing happened. First sin being introduced to the world. And later on, I have a list of things when we talk about sin entered to the world. Holiness lost, what does it mean? What did we really lose? And I'll have a list. But before we go into the list, we must first know that let us don't blame Eve. Let us don't blame Adam. And most important, don't blame God. One thing that in the passage, who is the opponent? Is our the serpent, right? The enemy. So it is important for us to understand who our enemy is. You know, I play basketball, used to. I know my body now can't tell, but I used to play basketball. So before we go for match, we really need to study, okay, the opponent. We need to study the shooter, the defender, right? And the C, I don't know, I can't recall already. Then we have to study them, and we're trying to fit ourselves to the right place. So same goes to us. When we know the passage, when we know all these things, how much we really know our enemy, in the world that we are living, if we do not understand or don't know the enemy ways of attacking us, then we are always no defense. But we must first know so that we can be a good defender. All right, the first way that Satan deceived us by questioning God's truth. You can look at the verse, he said, now the serpent was more crafty than any, all those. And then he questioned about God's, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? He questioned the truth of God. He makes people to question. Some of us here, to be honest, sometimes we really question about God. I mean, we are sinners still, right? We are in the world. But the tactic that serpent used said, questioning God's truth. And it's very, very familiar that, you know, did God really say no smoking? No what? You know, then we can do. That is one thing that we can question. When we want to do what we want to do, sometimes we can be deceived by the devil. Again, no offense. Today is my job to bring this out, all right? So, second, the second way that how Satan deceived us is by denying God's truth. The woman, Eve, was responding to say, but God say, right, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. So he knows. But the Satan say, you will not certainly die. Now suddenly he say, God going to punish, but no, suddenly he say that God will not punish. And just make it a very familiar day-to-day life, you know, when it comes to watching pornography, for example. And Bible did not say you will die when you watch, but we know when we do it, our spirit will start to lose the holiness. Our identity will start to die. So so Satan's way of is to denying so that you are dying inside. Your body can't tell sometimes. You're like, I can still come to the church. I can still do whatever I can. But maybe you are called to do a bigger things, but we might miss it out when we don't take care of holiness. Let's go continue. A third one, Satan's go by changing God's truth. You know, he actually said that, for God knows, God didn't say that, but he go and say that, all right? He said that, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. God never say, you will be like me. He never say that. He did say, you created by my image, but he didn't say, you'll be like God. And that is what serpent trying to do, change the truth. And that was first what happened. And I want to tell you this, that our enemy is creative, but at the same time, it's not creative. And one same old way to deceive people from day one until today can still happen. So it is very important to be serious about how we guard ourselves. Right? Let us continue. Just now I said, what we lost through sin, after the first crack, after the first imperfection become imperfection, what exactly when we say we lost the holiness? Again, it's not about right or wrong things. It's about identity. This is the list. We lost our connection with God and we now experience separation. We lost our right standing with God and we now are children of wrath. We lost our purpose and we now go on our own way. Everybody always asks this question, what is my purpose? And some of the people take their own life away because find no purpose. We lost our provision and we now sweat for our assistance. We don't even need to work back then, all right? And we were well fed in a sense, but now we need to worry about how many zero in our banks, right? The next one, we lost our confidence and we now experience shame, day-to-day thing. Who is better? I'm not good. We lost our connection with others and we now experience alienation and broken relationship. You can see tons, broken family, broken relationship. People are hurt and we are in this kind of world. And we're talking about country towards country, all is broken relationship. And the last one, we lost our awareness of how terrible sin is. And we now attempt to justify our sin. This one, immediate Adam, when God appeared, you know, Adam said, it's Eve. He did not say it's his fault because he is trying to justify. Same goes to us. A lot of time we can blame others. It's others' problem, all right? And this is what happened. We don't come to God and examine ourselves. That is what we lost as well. So that was what we lost immediately when the relationship broken. And we can see the word. The Bible also mentioned that, you know, when you have the Bible, you really know how the world is going to be like. Bible did mention that people is going to fight with people. Nation is going to have wars. People are going to be self-centered, prideful, jealousy. Everything will go on. And you can see ons and ons happening in our world. And I follow, you know, Instagram, I really follow Middle East news because I really cry out for them. And every time I just see things that really break my heart. And we know that the world is broken. And I don't know, some of you may not yet married. Some of you married and I'm married, not yet have children. I want to tell you that I'm a kids pastor, but I struggle first year to say that I want to have kids because I look at how corrupted the world is. I was telling my husband, say that let's don't have kids. I do not want to bring another innocent child to the world. Don't raise your hand if you think the same as me. But you must agree with me. Many people say the same thing. And some parents worry because the world that we are in, we worry. And God took 2 years to soften my heart. And if I can use these three tactics that Satan really trying to use on me, was that he deceived me. Because the word of God actually say that children are blessing. But I was corrupted with my mind. I look at the world and I subscribe to the world. And the Bible also said that they are arrow for the parents to shoot. That means they will be sharp, they will be good, they will be a weapon. Why I think they are so weak? I was deceived. When we are not careful, we go by our mind thinking the world, thinking that what is right to do, but we've forgotten our identity is in Christ. So you now here you're listening, wow, that is so sad. Everything is so sad. Then some of us will be like, then why not? Then why we are still here? Why not we go to joy God, right? And to be honest, there will be time I'll let God, you can take me away, you know. But our time is not yet. And I forgot to show you a scripture that just now I show you verse 1 to 8. Actually, verse 21. Verse 1 to 8 was talking about God. They made mistake, you know, everything, and they had conversation, and God asked them to leave the place. But before they left, actually, God made clothes for them using animal skin. The animals, from the text itself, you can already say that God still loved them. You know, God said, but at the end of the day, you still do something for them. But when we look into the word again, study the word, some scholar did say that in the beginning, there is no blood was shed. They eat fruits. So why God kill animal? That was the first covenant given by God, that someone's blood will be shed. And he provided the solution. And that is the Lamb of God. God loves, in the beginning, already shown. And he gave the solution. And that was a promise of him that now you go, but you are not alone. When I look at that, I say, God, you can just kill us all. But he wants our relationship. Hence, we all have the opportunity of believing in God. We can be here worshiping God. We can obtain your identity. We can get the miracle. We can have the feeling. We can have the joy. We can have the victory from God. It is because somebody's blood was being shed. Hence, we are called to choose. We are the chosen race, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When we have God, we actually not as bad as we think the whole list. The moment we accepted Christ, the moment we have God in us, we can start back the relationship. The identity is given back. But of course, the 1 million question will be, but we still suffer. I'm sorry to say, yes, we still suffer because we are still in a world that is corrupted, that is full of sin. However, we are called to be holy. We have the righteousness in us, and we can be set apart from the world. We can have the glimpse of God while we are on earth. No need to suffer until the day that you meet Jesus. Because God can't wait to let us to experience him. And he wants us to be more people experience him as well. Hence, we call to set apart not just us with God. We also bring more people to Christ so that they can be set apart. So when we come to chosen priesthood and set apart, it is really that all of us here, if you call yourself a follower of Christ, I'm so thankful that we can actually witness the goodness of God when we are in the world that we actually lost everything. We're not supposed to have all those. But because of the love, because of the covenant, the skin that God showed, and when he sent, he already gave the love and a solution. And he is ready to die. The road to holiness is humility and repentance. Holiness doesn't just happen the day that we accepted Christ. To keep ourselves holy is a daily thing. It's a day-to-day thing. And I mentioned that it's not about doing right or wrong thing, but it's about us being more Christ-like. Because that is our identity. God wants us to be more Christ-like. The more that we know about him, we keep ourselves apart from the world. Again, set apart from the world is not about we build an island, we all stay there. It's not. Set apart in the world is while we are on earth, in the place that you're at, working place, school, we do what we can do to show God's love. You are different than others. And this is a day-to-day thing. Holiness, humility, it brings, maybe I can give just a quick example that is, why is it day-to-day? Why is it not just doing things? Why we are talking about is our identity, you know? When it comes to preaching, I dislike it because I need to look at so many eyes and then I will judge myself. I'm not talking about you will judge me, but I will judge, I will reject. So I will have my episode all the time when it comes to preaching. So I will a few days disappear. My husband will know. Suddenly a few days he will don't have wife in a sense. And I was struggling, but and I know that God chose me and I have to be a good steward of the word of God. But, you know, on that Friday, on the way to prayer meet, God, on really in the car, really a day-to-day basis thing, God suddenly remind me, you got to preach to yourself first. I was like, what do you mean, God? You know, humility. I self-check. Why? Preach to myself. Yeah, suddenly I think of, I was deceived by the enemy that I'm not good. Who said I'm not good? I'm good. Okay. God give me the confidence, right? And who said that my theology is not good? The word of God say, his word, his truth, you just by reading itself can really defeat the enemy. Suddenly, I was like, God, I am so sorry that I accept that I'm not good. I accept that I am not good enough to share your word. I repent and I declare and I claim back. And so again, remind us again, it is not about doing right or wrong. Holiness is about who you are. And I want to close the story of, just in case you wonder, dialogue. No dialogue today, all right? Pastor Tim is not here. And I'm very worried about questions. No, okay, just kidding. All right, so, okay, move on. All right, and I want to close this story by Nehemiah's stories. When we're approaching brokenness, when we approach the loss that we have, the world that we are in, what kind of postures that we can actually have? You know, many of us know Nehemiah. He is a layman. He is just somebody serving a king, a cupbearer. And he is originally from Jerusalem, but he is not like migrated already. He grew up in another country, serving the king, having a title for himself. And however, there was one day, one of the neighbor or relatives, I can't really recall, okay, please pardon me. And the person went and visit Nehemiah and actually tell Nehemiah what happened to Jerusalem where he originated from. He was telling Nehemiah that Jerusalem is really in disaster. People are struggling. The wall is still not yet built. Jerusalem wall was destroyed for 140 years. And when Nehemiah heard that, at night he went home, he kneeled and he wept. He felt for God. He prayed. And he felt the need of doing something. The next day, he went to the king, took leave. He said, can you let me go home? I want to go back and build back Jerusalem, especially the wall. God, some of you know the story. God had favor for Nehemiah. King allowed and even give him soldiers to follow him back. 140 years the wall was broken, being destroyed. How many years did Nehemiah to build back? It was 52 days. While we approach a broken world and when come to holiness, we can say that God is broken. Nothing to do with me. But when we approach it like Nehemiah, we wept for God. We feel for God. Even 140 years war, he can build in 52 days. And during the building time, the enemy is there. Same goes to us. When we chase after, when we trying to really set apart our life, but we are on earth, right? Enemy is still here. We'll still be tempted, right? So it was still, we still need to fight against. And I really like Nehemiah's stories, how the people building during the time, how they build, because they also have enemies around. There are neighbor countries that do not want this country to come back alive again. And they're trying to manipulate, they're trying to send spies and trying to attack. And this is what happened. I really love it. From the day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shoe, bows, and armor. The officer posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. This is their posture when they were building. They know the enemies around. And I want to give a really great reminder for all of us that Bible says that Satan, there was like a rolling lion going around trying to kill people. And if we don't guard our faith and we are not careful, not sensitive, not letting God and humble ourselves, asking God, Is there anything that you want to show me today? I want to tell you, we are weak. Our wall might be broken. And we need to learn like this enemy. While we run through our day-to-day life, we have to be alert. We need to know the Word of God. How do you defend your faith? How do you respond back? And I really like this, talking about working as a whole team, not just one person working. There are people around. We're talking about community. We're talking about church. If all of us reject church, look at this picture. We need one another. And I want us to remind us that it is important to guard our faith while we are on earth until the day that we meet Jesus. And I want to leave these questions to all of us, that what breaks his heart? There's millions of questions people will ask, and one of the famous questions people will ask is that, if God is all-loving, why the world is still like this? A lot of people ask this question. I'm not here to answer that question, I'm sorry, but you can Google that question, because 100 years, many people ask the same questions, because people question God, question the truth, hence our heart is not satisfied. But of course, it is good for us to know by our mind. But today, I want to introduce another perspective. Maybe some of you already know. Another perspective is that instead of looking, being the judge, to say that why God did not do this, we start asking that God, surrounding is happening. How do you feel about it? So when we begin to feel for God, I guess we will start questioning God. We will start saying, God, you are cruel. We will stop saying God is cruel. And we start by our life. God, what breaks you with my life? And God maybe will say, breaks me when you think you are not good enough. Breaks me you think that nobody cares. I don't need to be in the world. Breaks me when you gossip about people. Begin by that. And after that, baby, there is, if you can live a larger life, ask a larger question. God, what breaks you when come to the world? And God will actually tell you, breaks me when I see in the Middle East, because we always question about that. The child died, I cried. And I also feel for the mom who lost the child, because the mom is my daughter too. When we begin to stand at God's side, we will begin to obtain holiness and want more people able to experience God. So I'll leave these questions to all of us. When it comes to pursuing holiness, identity, don't need to go too far, study a lot, but have your heart-to-heart conversation with God. That suffices really for the beginning. When we humble ourselves, we'll begin to change. When we repent, godly repentance, we will begin to change and we will see the fruits out from our life. And I want to invite all of you to stand up. We're going to worship God. We're going to sing this song called Holy Forever. I want all of us come with a posture that we want to give back God the holy. We want to say that, God, you are my king. We want to reposition God in our life. We no longer want to question God in our life, that, God, you don't love me enough, you don't love the world enough, but we want to believe when we sing, God, you are holy. That means that you really love the world and you want us to set apart and you want us to have a life that is full of him, and the victory is on our side, miracles on our side. And I want us, when we sing, we give him all the glory and lift his name up high. And later on, I will close with prayer. Let us all worship God.
and possessions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, hear your people sing, oh, to the King of Kings, to the King of Kings. Oh, you will always be. You will always be holy, holy forever. If you've been forgiven, if you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. If you walk in freedom, if you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever and amen. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, hear your people sing, holy, to the King.
Come before the Lord. God, we want to recognize that you are holy. When we know that, recognize you are holy, when we call to set apart, we suddenly will feel that we are different than many others, that we can obtain our own identity and can we live our life to the fullest of God. And so first we need to know your majesty. You are perfect. So that the things that we obtain from you is not secondary, it's not secondhand, it's not good. The things that you're giving to us when we come to you, when we started to change, we allow you to move in our life, we will chase after holiness, and we will become better and better. And even on earth that is corrupted, we are able to differentiate ourselves, and we want to be a good stewards of our faith until the day that we meet you, O God. Help us, O God. Bless the church, and when we go home, we start to be alert and we live our life differently. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.